Hey, pronouncers, welcome back. We've got Anthony Constantino out of Sticker Mule, the co-founder and CEO of Sticker Mule. You've probably seen his email or heard about it. It's been going through the news quite a bit recently, where he talks about how he supports Trump, but many of his team at Sticker Mule supports Biden, and that's okay, but he wants the political hate to stop. And then, of course, in Sticker Mule fashion, includes a deal at the bottom. But before you listen to this, look, I don't care who you vote for. That's not what this is about. I'm very curious about owners and how they involve different out-of-work things that are happening inside the business. And that is what is super interesting, because we've seen multiple companies go through this. And do you do it? Does that help bring the team together? Or do you not and just totally focus on work? And that's what we really dive into with Stephen and Anthony today. So really excited to get into this. Some great opinions here, and we'll jump on in. But first, we've got incredible ad sponsors that help us put this show on every single week. So thank you so much to them. Easy Way. If you're spending hours cleaning screens, that is a thing of the past with Easy Way screen printing and screen cleaning chemicals. Their innovative formulas are designed to work quickly and effectively, so you can spend less time cleaning and more time creating. Plus, Easy Way is passionate about empowering printers of all skill levels. They have tons of resources and expert advice to help you succeed in running your shop.
Bruce, do you need a solution to improve efficiency and reduce costs in your art department? If you go to 1-900-HOTSTUFF.com, you're going to find GraphicSource. GraphicSource offers industry-leading outsource options for your shop by truly becoming a part of your team. They plug and play with Printavo and other shop management software. And when it comes to SEPs, mockups, creative art, order management, digitizing, back office admin, and customer service, there's no better company in our industry to work with. At Campus Inc., we have 5 full-time GraphXers, and they help keep Campus Inc. running. You can hit them up, graphicsource.com. Use Printavo Pod 24 to get 50% off your first vector, SEP, or embroidery order. Thanks so much, GraphicSource.
Dude, you have a great backlight behind you, by the way. I'm going to send you a screenshot. You got to record from the holiday and more. Supercolor is the world's best heat transfer. It's made for screen printers by screen printers. They understand the pressures and expectations of running a screen printing business. That's why they pride themselves on being super fast and super easy. Rum and the team are awesome. Always fun to see them and just spend time together. Not only that, their support team, though, is incredible. So super fast email. They're a great partner. If there's an issue, I mean, they're shipping stuff overnight back to help you run your business. Supercolor helps you guys make it. Mention or use that code Printavo15. That gets you 15% off your order.
Sweet. Bruce, have you heard of Multicraft_daddy? If you go to Instagram right now, open it up and type in Multicraft_daddy, give him a follow and a like. Actually, shoot him a DM, because he's giving away a free case of PMI tape per episode. If you need ink supplies or a daddy, Multicraft screen printing and digital supplies for over 50 years has been providing you with top brands at competitive prices. Mention the Printavo podcast. You'll receive an extra 10% off your first order. Dave Eggers and the team at Multicraft, we appreciate everything you do for us. And thanks so much for sponsoring the pod.
All right. Let's jump on in. All right. Anthony's back. We had an amazing first episode. CEO of Sticker Mule, part-time pro amateur boxer.
Pro.
Are you pro?
Pro. Yeah.
Let's go. All right. I watched the video last time that you sent. How's that been going, by the way? Are you still training a lot?
I took a little break. I was going to fight and it's distracting me. But
were you fighting in Mexico or something?
Yeah. I live most of the year in Mexico, or a lot of the year in Mexico.
Gotcha. Do you guys have facilities down there?
Technically, there is a Sticker Mule Mexico, but it's just I'm like an investor in a gym down there. So it's all it is.
What do you feel like you spend most of your time on? Obviously, you know, boxing stuff aside, but just business wise.
It's hard to say. You know, when I was doing the boxing, I was 4 to 5 hours a day. So that eats up a lot of time. And then, if you want to like fight competitively, it's going to be a significant investment. It's a job, right? You don't want to be in a professional ring with somebody that's like doing it for their job and you're doing it.
That's true.
One hour a day is
quickest way to get knocked out, huh?
Yeah, it's not a good idea. So yeah, when I do that, it's 4 or 5 hours a day. But yeah, since this all happened, I've been, you know, it's been more work and having, you know, having fun trying to shift the vibe of the, you know, hate that's been going on for the last 8 years.
But what about work-wise? So like Steven and I will talk about, hey, what are you thinking about? Because sometimes it's so easy to get into the minutiae and the weeds and it consumes a lot of like mental hours, but sometimes it's, I don't know, a big hire you try to make, step out of it, or like what?
Yeah. So that kind of follows to, so I tell people like, you want to, like my just principles, like I like to fix the biggest problems that are within my power to fix. That's what I encourage us to do as a company. So when I am working, I direct my energy towards that. I do the same actually in boxing. I always try to solve the biggest problem first. So I'm just like constantly maintaining like awareness of the company. What are like major issues that need fixing? And I work on that. So like right now, like I think a major issue is like for the last extra, you know, we've grown to be a quite big company. We want to keep growing and doing more exciting things. Like my North Star is happiness and helping people. Like, so for the last 10 years or so, you could come to Sticker Mule and buy. And so like, we were in the business of helping companies succeed through our products, but there's a limit to what we can do there. So in the last month or so, we launched a stores platform. So we're now the easiest way to launch your business on the internet, and you can open a store on Sticker Mule. So products made by us through your store, we handle shipping, fulfillment, and customer service. So it's a huge problem to solve, making it easier for people to spin up online businesses or businesses in general. So, you know, I like to solve big problems. That's an example of, you know, how I direct my energy.
Anthony, the last time we talked, merch was still, you were working on it or was starting to surface. Now, you know, it's order a shirt on Sticker Mule. Has that turned into a big part of your business?
People love the shirts. Yeah. Yeah. So people love the shirts. I suspect as we get into like this concept of helping other people make money, spin up stores, start businesses for themselves, you know, I'm all about just making people happy and doing useful things, right? There's nothing more useful than like helping people stabilize themselves or succeed financially. Yeah, we're going to be trying to look to sell whatever product. It's going to be a little bit more interesting. We're going to be looking to sell whatever products are beneficial for our sellers.
So how would you compare this then? I guess it's almost like you're turning like Printful versus you guys. How would you compare yourself to them now?
You know, I haven't really thought about that. Like we're a different platform altogether, but you know, I don't spend a lot of time looking at competitors in general.
How do you get a sense of what the customer wants from your level, right? Because I'm assuming huge team at this point, big moving company, a lot of orders, yeah, and stuff. You know, is it reading support emails? Is it like, you know,
it's not so hard. I mean, it's really not so hard. Yeah, support emails, people talk to me, just general feedback, just staying involved, talk to the people. Anytime anyone leaves negative feedback, it goes into, we use Asana. I still read like a lot of the negative feedback, frustration coming from customers. Recently, a lot of it was directed at one particular topic.
I don't know what you're talking about. What do you, I'm so confused.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, one of the things that struck me, especially from the last episode, is just how focused internally it seemed you guys were. Even down to, you know, you started to mention how that we had to re-engineer equipment so that it fit our high volume, you know, kind of lower quantity way of working. And we have folks on staff that focus on that. So yeah, it's interesting, right? Because it's easy to get distracted by competitors, but you're right. I mean, you've obviously carved out a niche doing that from the product side, from the marketing side, you know, the hot sauce, everything.
Yeah. You know, we have a fairly, whatever you want to call it, flat organization. So it's like, you know, we're a sizable company, but there's not that many people in management. So it's easy to keep a pulse on stuff. You know, people talk to me and say, let's do this or let's do that. And it's, you know, it's easy. I also think for whatever reason, I just have a natural ability to understand human nature and like what people want. Like, right. It's not, I guess it's sort of obvious, right? People want to make money. So we launched a storage platform. It's sort of obvious.
Yeah. Do you think that thought process helped you to, cause to be able to spend time, you know, being a pro boxer or whatever else you want to be able to do. I mean, you must have did a good job then of pulling yourself out of the day-to-day minutia I mean, Steve and I always talk about this is just so difficult is like, you know, I don't know, maybe you see an order come across and you're just like, what the hell? We have processes. Why was it short? What, you know, what was this issue? To be able to spend that time not on that business in general, was that a result of focusing on the biggest problems and trying to ignore the rest? Like, did you find yourself good at that? Or do you still struggle with that anyway, like everyone else?
You got it. No, I don't know why I had this ability, but yeah, I mean, you have to manage your metrics. The hard thing is defining your metrics, but once you got them defined, you just manage your metrics. And like, yeah, people get in the weeds saying, like, especially in manufacturing, it's easy. There's a lot of moving parts in a factory and you can go nuts saying there's a problem here, there's a problem there. You know, there's problems all over the place. In manufacturing, you don't have 100% perfection. And when you have high volumes, right? Like, let's say you got 99.9% perfection, but you're shipping a million orders a year. That's a lot of defective orders, but you got to look at your metrics and say, you know, 99.9% are good. You got to look at your costs in a general sense. You can't get wound up about, you know, for example, like if I'm in the factory and you know, people are taking an extended lunch, you know, I don't really care. Like it doesn't, you can't look at stuff like that. You got to look at your overall productivity metrics, right? You know, whereas like maybe other manufacturing managers get in the weeds and they're like, why are people doing an hour lunch instead of the four, you know, or they're doing an hour, 15 minute lunch instead of the hour lunch that we, you know, allotted for them. And we're losing money on that 15. It's like, no, you got to look at your overall numbers.
Anthony, where do you spend? So like, I imagine Sticker Mule is an engineer or a manufacturing kind of marvel. And then there's the, you know, the technology, right? Your actual, like your tech stack. And then there's the sales and marketing. Where do your passions lie? Where do you spend most of your time?
I did everything at one point, right? Because I started the company. So I did all the customer service for the first year or two. I ran the factory. I did everything. So, you know, once you start doing, like the hardest thing in business is growth. So, well, in the beginning, growth was fairly easy, but you know, the hardest thing in business is growth. So I spend most of my time there. But at the same time, I focused on solving the biggest problems that are like in front of us. So at times, like growth is coming very easily, and we have issues in manufacturing. At times, like growth is like more of a struggle, like right, and we need more creativity there. And so I'll spend more time thinking about what we can do to like get growth going. You know, we've talked about this for a while. It's kind of been a back and forth. Like since we don't have investors, like we aren't pressured to just grow as quickly as possible and do it in an unpleasant way. So I've never wanted to like grow so quickly. I stress the team out. So yeah, I kind of go back and forth between focusing on growth when that's an issue and focusing on backend operations when that's.
But like, okay, let's say like when you decided to bring merch on board and now you're doing DTG on demand, right? And well, I don't know. I'm gonna assume Kornit's probably whatever. Like, do you go hire people that are experts in DTG on demand and merch, or do you guys try to develop yourself? Or like, you know, when you're like, I want that, what do you do?
We got a lot of experience within the company, so we just, you know, we figured things out. No, I didn't go we don't go hire like experts or consultants or anything like that. We got a lot of talent within the company. We use our network though. Like one thing in business, right, it's called user resources. So I got my Rolodex, the people that I rely on, people that work with me, got their people they rely on. So I don't know, we use our resources, the people that are available to us, and we figure things out. We got good relationships with our vendors and so on and so forth. So I don't know how we figure things out. We just figure them out.
But with the manage with metrics part, is it, if a metric that you don't like or you want it to improve, are you telling the person that's responsible for that, like, hey, look, all right, by the end of this quarter, we need to get this to this. Then you just hear back next week and see, hey, where are we at? And that's the delegation.
Sometimes it works that way. Like first thing, as soon as you got metric in place, like the metric automatically improves. So that's step one, you know, and then people tend to be able to do more than they think they can. I don't know, they have a funny story. You know, our engineers, they worked for years on a pretty cool machine, and they were very proud of themselves to get me the first version. I said to them, this machine's great, but we need like whatever, 20 of them, and you're going to eat up all the floor space. So I said, we can't order 20. You know, we're not ordering them, we're making them in-house, but I said, I can't internally order 20 of these machines. I said, first, before we can roll out this technology to the entire company, you got to make it twice as fast and half the size. That's not possible. Like they're so proud of themselves, right? And they said, oh, you got to make it twice as fast and half the size. And, you know, they were able to do it, believe it or not. So, yeah, you know, you got to just put like, you put goals in front of people and people, you know, I don't know. You got a good team to figure things out. So I think, right, I'm not the only person that operates this way. Elon Musk did a pretty good job, right? When Twitter had the multiple data centers, right? That's called X now. They had the multiple data centers. And he said, I just want one. And then there was, I don't know, I saw the story. He went to California. He just like pulled the plug and shut the data center down because people thought it couldn't be done. You know, I said,
He brought in the kitchen sink, literally.
Our internal engineering really spent like 3 or 4 years to develop a machine. I said, no, this is a great machine, but I want it twice the speed and half the size. And 6 months later, they did it. So, you know, they were happy. I was happy.
Are you a pretty hard person to please at Sticker Mule? Like, does your team, okay, like sometimes my team's on eggshells around me because they're like, we don't know what he's going to say. We don't know if he likes this, if he's happy, sad.
And then he's also a pro boxer too, so.
Yeah, like
it has to lean towards that.
No, I'm serious. Like, you know, you do have a wild card personality, right? Like you've done some wild things, sent some wild emails.
Like in terms of how I interact with people, like I've always addressed people based on their pay grade, right? So it's higher expectations the more you make. Only 5 people report to me directly. They know, right? People make jokes. Oh, this is Elon's handler, so and so. You know, highly skilled people. Sometimes it is that way. So, am I difficult to deal with? Like, if you're at the highest level of the company, like, and you're making, you know, substantial earnings. Like, I have fairly high expectations. But these are people that have known me for a very long time, and they're friends of mine, and so they. We've known each other for a very long time. We work together very well. I do people that want to get promoted and report to me directly. Sometimes I say, be careful what you wish for. But anyways, I look at people, you know, based on their pay grade. If you're making a ton of money, like I have high expectations, depending upon where you are in the company, like the expectations like change dramatically.
Which is fair. But I'll tell you on the flip side, I feel like sometimes though, I may be afraid to lose that person. And so I'm not as like holding them to a bar, but that's probably the wrong way for me to think about it.
Well, you got to make people feel good too, right? So I'm a big believer. So I mean, I think everyone say like when anything gets frustrated, he's generally fair. Like I don't get frustrated about silly stuff, right? So you can't just be getting up, you know, you can't be constantly difficult, right? So I'm praising people a lot too. I look at it like this, right? You got a bank, political capital, emotional capital, people. You know, through praise, through doing nice things for them. And then, you know, that gives you the right to be demanding at times. But if you're just demanding and nothing else, it's not going to work. But, you know, I do things, whatever. You could do little things to win points with people. Like you stop by Starbucks and you grab coffees for your team rather than just for yourself. Or you give people praise when they do good work. My co-founder is 82 years old and, you know, he was incredible at doing really impressive things and then giving all the praise to his subordinates. You know, I didn't understand that at first, but like, yeah, you know, if you make people feel good, it gives you a right to be a little more demanding. I think probably people like Elon Musk make people feel great. You know, they like working for him and that gives them the right to be a little more demanding at times.
You brought up Elon a couple of times. Who else do you look up to?
It's not like not too many people. Not too many people, to be honest. Like I'm not too many people.
I still have to read that Walter Isaacson Elon book. Did you read that?
Either. I like boxers, you know, Mike Tyson. Who do I look up to? Mike Tyson, Michael Jackson. People that are very, you know, people that are very successful in different areas, but in the world of business, not too many, you know, maybe not too many people, maybe people from eras gone by that are no longer here anymore for me to really pay attention to. But, you know, in business, Elon, outside of business, Mike Tyson, Michael Jackson's no longer with us, but, you know, similarly impressive. Talented.
Well, similar to you and Elon, you're also very polarizing and you like to do things like, I just want to do it. Let's do it this way. And I think part of that was the email that went out and seemed to have gotten picked up. I was like, wow, this has gotten outside of, like, I think I saw a Forbes article, maybe Business Insider or some others. I'm sure there was a bunch of.
I was Wall Street Journal yesterday, and not only Wall Street Journal, but the most popular article on the Wall Street Journal, which didn't see coming.
All right. Okay. See that.
So in our world, you know, I don't know where I was sitting when I got the email, but it was then forwarded to me like 15 times and then sent around like all my text message groups and then in every Facebook group for the screen printing world. Tell us about that day. Walk us back.
It was wild. Yeah. Every friend in my social circle was getting called by their friend groups. Like, what is going on? Da, 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 you know?
So like, is this after you were in Mexico and did like an ayahuasca? Like what happened?
I was planning on fighting. I was about to get a haircut. I was like, you know, maybe, I was going to do just a simple exhibition. I hadn't boxed seriously. Otherwise I was like training for a few weeks. I was going to do an exhibition. I was like, I'm going to go get a haircut, you know, so I look good. Right. For the fight. And, just as I was about to get the haircut, this whole thing happened. A friend called me from the United States and said, you know, President Trump was shot. And so I wrote the whole thing while I was getting my haircut, came home and posted it. And I don't remember the exact, you know, play of events, but like the funniest part was like, I go home, I posted it at night. I was with my girlfriend, who's Mexican. And the next morning she had an appointment to go to. So she said, listen, I'm gonna go to my appointment and I'll meet you afterward for coffee. So I wake up, you know, my phone's going crazy. So I'm trying to respond to people as quickly as possible. Then I go meet her at like 12 or 1. By the time I get there, I got 4% battery. So as soon as I get there, I say, hey, do you got the charger? And she said, oh, no, I didn't remember to bring it. And so we end up getting coffee and we end up going to dinner. Then we end up going for drinks after dinner. We don't get home until like 1 or 2 in the morning. And then she's like, and I finally plug my phone in and it's like the whole world's going nuts. And they're like, this guy just destroyed his company. You know, he like people are telling me to kill myself and do all that. You know, the amount of rage was unbelievable. And, you know, my girlfriend said, do you think any of these people could believe what your day actually was like? Because, you know, the people thought like,
yeah, you're just sipping on espresso and
yeah, like people thought
nice martini.
I was going to like, you know, it was like a traumatic experience for me. That was like how it happened. And then, like, I mean, I was unplugged the day it happened. And I was really impressed with our team. They kept an incredible sense of calm. So as soon as I got plugged in the next morning, I give him credit. Our PR director, who I just started and had asked me not to send him, you know, not to send this. Right. He's like, don't.
Of course.
I mean, it was a big thing. Right. It was actually an Axios, but he was getting beat up all over LinkedIn. Right. How can you work for this company? Yada, 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 yada. You know, and then I said, came out and said, you know, he actually asked me not to do it. It was his third day on the job. And so.
All right. First task. No mule swag yet or anything else. But
yeah. The guy didn't even get his employee welcome box.
Yeah.
That's baptism by fire.
Exactly.
What a way to that. Wow.
So all these people call me racist, whatever, but I'm not even speaking English. For most of the time, like my girlfriend doesn't really speak English. So, you know, I live in Mexico and I box in gyms. My gym in Mexico, I'm an owner in a gym in Mexico and nobody speaks English in a gym. My coach doesn't speak English. So, you know, people are throwing all these weird names around at me. And, you know, that was the reality of how it happened. Our PR director called me and said, you know, I was just talking to the head of customer support or head of sales. Sorry, he was talking to the head of sales and he said the amount of hate coming into our inbox was out of control. So I called our CFO during the Trump years. Like the economy was going nuts. Like we were growing so quickly, it was unbelievable. So we were able to issue $1,000 bonus to everyone back then. I never disclosed at the time, but we were close to 1,000 people. So it was a significant outlay of cash over $1 million. And not only did we issue a bonus back then, but we grossed it up to cover taxes because whatever. So I said, let's do something similar for the support team to thank them for dealing with the nonsense that they were with whatever they were dealing with. And so we immediately issued a $2,500 bonus to everybody on the support team, which was 79 people. That was $200,000 for us to do that. And that was met really positively within the company. But aside from that, you know, the sticker mill handled the whole thing really well. Like nobody, you know.
Let me just back this up a little bit. Why did you feel, look, it's your own company. It's your baby, right? Why did you feel
maybe a segment of it too? Cause I don't know if everyone who's listening is necessarily here. Hi there. Donald Trump was shot. I don't care what your political views are, but the hate for Trump and his support has gone too far. People are terrified to admit that they support Trump. Americans shouldn't live in fear. I support Trump, many a sticker mule duel, but also many also support Biden. The political hate needs to stop. By the way, get one shirt for $4. I suggest you buy one to show you support Trump. You know, there's a lot of compassionate people that support on both sides. Awesome people all over the world love Trump, but you know, we should vocalize and stop the hate. All right, Stephen, go. And by the way, I should preface this too. Like, what's important here is I think the business angle is really the interesting aspect of being polarizing. Cause I've seen this happen before on both ends. I remember you probably seen this. Expensify CEO sent an email back in 2020, said, you know, it was something like democracy is, there's an issue, right. You need to vote for Biden, right? And it sent it all out. And then their team just got totally hammered, I'm sure similar to yours, for the next month or so. And it was very polarizing, right? A lot of people, some people either left, a lot of people were interested in competitors. I'm sure some people gravitated more to wanting to use their product again. But there is a great dialogue of, you know, how much to involve sort of political aspects and things that are outside of work in work. And that's where we found it interesting to discuss more. Okay, Steven, I just
queued up. Yeah, so like, why did you feel inclined, you know, like, okay, at Campus Inc., we're only 75 employees, guys, girls, you know, you name it, different backgrounds. And we just try to keep politics like off the, you know, conversations because we have an office in Chicago and a production facility in the middle of Central Illinois. So it's just different everything. And we all just kind of, you know, we just keep it peaceful. Why did you feel inclined? And my business partner is 63 years old, double my age, from the middle of, you know, Central Illinois. So like, why did you feel inclined to put your opinion in that and then like broadcast it? Was there something that moved you to want to do that? Was this a genius marketing play?
I mean, it ends up being, I didn't do it from a business perspective. I tell people, I haven't been trying to make money for a long time. So I think like, if you look at the world historically, like all the most successful people in business, they don't operate on the basis of trying to make money. They just try to do interesting things and solve big problems. You know, admittedly, I'm not an engineer, so there's a limitation in the types of problems I can solve. But I think like right now, this is, you know, the hatred for Trump supporters is a big problem. You got a situation where tens of millions of people like hate hundreds of millions of other people and use all sorts of nasty slurs to smear them and say all sorts of ridiculous things about them. It's been going on for 8 years. And I thought, you know, I have the skill set to try to address it and fix it. So I view it as a big problem that I'm able to address and help.
So for you, it was like, I have an audience, I can make an impact here, I can vocalize this in such a way. And I don't think the message was like violent or aggressive, but like to get that kind of thing, I'm like, oh.
Well, I think it was a unifying message because if you look at it, right, it didn't say the thing that the expensive guy was a polarizing message, right? Like, oh, if you don't vote here, democracy's coming to an end, the world's coming to an end. You know, I simply said people here like Trump, they like Biden, and the hate in both directions needs to stop. Like what people should realize, but a lot of people that have this like Trump hate don't realize is very unhealthy. It's like highly successful Trump supporters like myself, people with high IQs, maybe like myself, but we by and large stay quiet, right? Because if you got a high IQ, right, you can do the risk reward analysis and the return's not there. So people think about their reputation, whatever the case might be. And they say, I don't feel like doing it. So they stay quiet and it makes it easy to smear hundreds of millions of people with all sorts of nasty, really nasty slurs, inappropriate slurs, things that shouldn't be said.
Interesting. Can you give us a little bit of behind the scenes of, did you get any feedback from your staff that were like, I don't want to work here anymore. This made me uncomfortable. I don't like my job. Like, did the environment get weird at Sticker Mule?
No. So before standing it, you know, I survey people. I don't do anything like completely on my own. You know, I have people. So I called a few people and I said, you know, I try to get a feel for what people think. I said, hey, I wrote this. What do you think? And people that I knew, see people, and in general, we don't talk politics at Sticker Mule. So I don't really know people's particular political views. I do know people that like Trump because they come to me and they say they like Trump. But, you know, I don't know people's particular views, but you can get a sense for whether somebody's whatever, more left or more right. But we got, you know, we got everyone here. If you got a company with more than four people, you're going to have everyone. Like you got 75 people. So you got both sides at your company for sure. I got both sides at my company. So I talked to people right on both sides, and the Trump people were scared to send it. The people that were more left leaning wanted me to send it because realistically, Stigma is a very diverse organization. We all get along. There's, we have parties, we do events, we travel together, and it's guaranteed there's a mixture of people that like Trump and people that hate Trump at the same party, at the same, on the same company trip, at the same event, going to the, you know, we're all remote, so we're not always in the office together, but there's people on all different backgrounds in the factory. Everyone gets along. Everyone has a good time. So like the people that were more left-leaning thought it was a good message, like, cause they're inside Sticker Mill and they said, you know, you've created a atmosphere where everyone has a great time. And why can't it be like this, you know, throughout the country, throughout the world.
So internally, not much like whiplash or anything like that. Externally, it was crazy to see other sticker companies like making ads to like be like, we don't politicize, buy our stickers, you know, whatever. And you know, like, oh, buy stickers from here, here, here. What about your sales? Up, down? Did it do anything?
It's too early to tell. You know, yeah, it's really too early to tell. Because there's a number of things at play. But like again, I don't really do anything to like try to make money or not make money. I tend to be whatever fairly good at making money. It tends to happen. I didn't know what was going to happen when I did this, first of all, right? Were sales going to go up or sales going to go down? It's hard to tell because maybe you get all this PR and sales go up. Maybe you get all this negative. Who knows? I did know that like I'm the type of person, and that's why, you know, I'm not really training for boxing right now. I'm the type of person that like, I'm going to do whatever it takes to make something to win, not just for, you know, for the company, but for society as a whole. I didn't do this to benefit myself or anything like that. I wanted to do something positive. So, my concern wasn't for sales. I do have a concern for the well-being of our employees. And so I did, you know, when I did it, I knew I was going to do whatever it takes to make this a win for the company, for our people, and for society as a whole. And so I'm talking to you guys, and I'm talking to other people as well.
Yeah, I appreciate coming on and chatting.
Okay, I got one more question. I'll let Bruce go. If you had the opportunity to edit undo, go back in time, and not hit send, would you have listened to your PR director?
Or change the message either, too, like,
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Would you have listened to your PR director? Would you have sent something differently? I'm sure you've thought about that, right? Like, it's not fun to have a bunch of employees that are getting hate, right? No one wants that. Like, what would you have done differently?
I think I've been effective at achieving, like, so far, like thus far, and I think I'll continue to be effective at achieving, like, which I wanted to achieve, which is, like, stopping this, like, you know, whether you want to call it insane or not, this insane hatred, not just towards Trump, but towards, like, the hundreds of millions of people that support him. People say it's, like, not a true number because, I mean, oh, only 70 or 80 million people voted for him, but I live in Mexico. We have a factory in Italy. I spend time in Europe. Like, he's liked all over the world by people, loves tons of people. I don't know how many tens of millions of people in South America love the guy. I mean, within that community, he's very, very, very loved. The president of Argentina ran his, you know, they were talking about this yesterday. The president of Argentina ran his whole campaign on Make Argentina Great Again. So, and he won. So anyways, you know, I think I'm.
So the message, you think it would be the same, like
you would send the same thing again?
We, you know, the funny thing, like when he said we scheduled the email, the guy that runs the emails went on vacation. And so the only thing I wanted to change was the subject line, but I didn't get it. You know, I was like, whatever. I couldn't get in touch with him to change the subject line. I probably would have wrote a different subject line. I don't know how the subject line was just Trump 2024. It was just Trump 2024.
But you would not take that back. You would definitely send it again.
I think, you know, I'm achieving the goals that I wanted to achieve, and it's made the company like stronger than ever. Like, one, like, you know, yeah, the company's stronger than ever. I mean, it's a unique experience to go through something like this. Not every company has gone through it. So like, we've gone through it. People internally have seen the impact. We didn't lose any employees. We didn't, you know, sales are strong. We'll see how things go as time progresses, but like, we're in a good situation. It's an interesting thing for people to go to. Like, I think like, I've talked to people, you know, I believe they come from opposing sides of the aisle. And I think like people within Sticker Mill view it as at least the people I've talked to view it as an interesting experience. Not everyone has gone through anything like this. Not everyone is like woken up in their companies, the most popular article in the Wall Street Journal the next day. I mean, some companies get that all the time, but generally, you know, not hot sauce companies like ours.
I appreciate the sentiment of, we should have better empathy on both sides of like, okay, I hear what you're saying. Like, here's what I believe. And I appreciate trying to bring that into the workplace where it is a little bit more like, we're just not going to talk about this at all. And so obviously anybody running their own company can decide if they want to do that or not. You know, I mean, Basecamp was a great example. And back in April 2021, which was a very polarizing time, they said, look, we are not discussing anything politically or societally related on Basecamp's products at work. So, you know, our online chat, our forums, whatever else, no talking about any of this stuff. When we're at work, we are focused on work. And then when you're at home, you guys could do whatever you want. You call each other, you text each other, whatever you want to do. And they got a lot of backlash from that. Half their company quit. Now, granted, there were 55 people. Half the company left because they said, you know, this is our life is intertwined with this. We should be able to talk about this at work. I don't know. Maybe you can't win.
Well, I'll be honest. I agree with them. You know, you shouldn't talk about politics at work. In fact, we don't talk about politics at work. Like, I think it's anti-happiness. It's something you should do in your free time. I agree with them entirely. You shouldn't do it. We don't do it. I don't really know the politics of people at Sticker Mule other than, you know, like I said, some people that like Trump come to me and they tell me they like Trump too, but I don't go around asking people what their political interests are. We don't talk about political. We don't talk politics at work. It's a downer. When we're out, we're having fun. We're telling jokes. We're cracking jokes. We're talking about work. We're talking about our family lives or whatever the case may be. I agree with them. I think what happened to them was and it's weird because they got this reputation. They wrote all these books, but I think it's a case of poor leadership. I mean, how do you obviously like I talked about political? I talked about, you know, building goodwill with your employees so that you can be, you know, whatever. They obviously didn't bank enough goodwill with their employees if they made a statement like that.
This email probably brought a lot more politics into the day to day, right? I mean, it had to have, especially on the support side, let alone the others.
One thing is completely remote and not talking to people face to face. You know, I do a mixture of remote phone calls. I don't think I would have written an essay to the company thing and said whatever they said. I don't remember what they said, but yeah, that was bizarre. They lost half their people and I did what I did.
But did you feel any guilt or shame for like being, sorry, team, I threw a wrench in today and we got to clean this thing up. Like, it's going to suck for a week or two. Like, did you feel any of that of like, not necessarily my bad, but like.
I think like we run, so we're third party audited. We do happiness surveys, right? Like by a third party to see like the general, you know, happiness of the company. I think it's like a cool thing to do. I think something we should do nationally, right? Like it'd be cool to have a national happiness survey to see state by state or region by region how happy people are in particular. It's a great way to measure yourself. So I'll see where that plays out in the data the next time we run that survey. The firm that runs it, you know, I was measured as a leader, right? You got these other platforms. What's the one called? The really popular one that everyone uses where you can go on there.
I was like Qualtrics or something.
No, there's a website, well, whatever. The guy told me I'm the most highest rated CEO he's ever seen. So whatever. Maybe I'm just lucky. I don't know. I think I got a lot of goodwill. Maybe I spent a little bit of it on this particular endeavor. But like I did it like knowing full well that I'm going to do whatever it takes to, you know, win back whatever points I lost. Like overall, like I think it's an interesting moment. And I think, you know, not to rag on the Basecamp guys, I think it's poor leadership what they did. If you look at like what Trump did, right, he got shot. And he immediately stood up the shoulder when he was okay. And the reaction of the crowd was to stay calm. So I went through this. I stayed calm. The company stayed calm. I mean, they stayed calm before me because, as I told you, I was out hanging out in Mexico. But, you know, I stayed calm. The company stayed calm. Our leadership stayed calm. Nobody quit.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I see the both sides, right? Because, like, I see the on the Basecamp side as a – I agree, like – again, I don't want to, you know, you post this stuff out and clearly there was a fair amount of people who did want to have these discussions actively. And, you know, that was a very funky time with COVID and protests and like, it was just very, very complicated. And to your point, like, yeah, I don't want 2 hours of the maybe 6 hours of productive time spent discussing different topics that we're not going to have an effect on right now anyway. Like, we have a lot of things that we got to do. And so if you're not along with this mission, then makes sense. And maybe, you know, it sounds like everyone was along with on your mission or just, you know, it was like, yeah, I appreciate your opinion. And
if you're a leader, you have to like earn the goodwill of your people. I think I've effectively done that. Other leaders should do the same.
Do you think like in the future you'll send other stuff like of your opinion? Because that is interesting too. It's just like, hey, look, here's the company, and here's what I believe and like want to promote the goodwill of for whatever topics that come up in the future. I don't know. Or is it just this one?
I like solving big problems. And it's like right now the store's platform, like right, how to help people make money, it's a big problem. So this thing all happened, and like we got so much exciting stuff going on at Sticker Mill that my conversations after this happened were about projects at Sticker Mill. You know, this is like my separate thing that I'm working on. I'm not spending all day talking with this about people at Sticker Mill. There's so much exciting stuff going on. I think that helped, you know, you want that environment too, right? There's like this idea of like creating stores and helping people make money. Like Ricky Berwick is our top influencer. He just came and hung out with us for 3 days. He's got our best store right now. You know, the team had a lot of fun hanging out with him. We want to get other people on the platform and not just help influencers make money, but regular people make money. It's a really exciting time to be at Sticker Mill. We got a lot of cool products coming out. There's just cool projects all over the place. So, I mean, the team talks about work, and it's fun to do cool projects. So,
and are you doing a little bit of like not a press tour, but just going on to interviews and being transparent and stuff like that, just so that people know you're not hiding behind your words? Is that kind of the?
Yeah, to the extent people want to talk to me, I talk to the Wall Street Journal. I want to do that. Like I said, I like solving big problems. I think this is like one of the biggest problems in the world right now. Particularly, it's a problem that's within my skill set to address. I like would like other CEOs to follow me. I think I'm a good case study for how to do this, because I know there's not just CEOs, but there's successful people from all backgrounds, successful athletes, and just high IQ individuals, people that like know how to persuade. And there's interesting people all over, even within my social circles, that like they like Trump, but they're terrified to say it. And you know, people are terrified to tell their girl. I know people that won't even tell their girlfriend, or they won't tell there's a girl that won't tell their boyfriend, or whatever the case may be. There's a lot of people that are scared to talk about it. I think I'm an interesting case study in how to do it effectively. I think, like I've said for a while, if everyone that is a prisoner's dilemma, like nobody wants to be the first one to talk, right? So if everyone, right, high performing in unison came out and said, hey, you know, I also support Trump and did it in a way that I did it in a fair sense, where you're not being disrespectful to the country as a whole or to the world as a whole. And I think it would solve this problem really quickly. And it's like, it would be beneficial to both sides, because it's not healthy for the other side to think that all these slurs that describe Trump supporters are accurate, right? It's like there's tens of millions of people who do think that like anyone that is voting for this guy is like is a total monster, or is whatever, the R slur, or all these slurs, right? And so, if more people spoke up, you know, this would go away, and like we would get back to like being a much happier country. This is really a problem affecting America more than the rest of the world. Like, this isn't an issue. Anti-Trump hate, for example, isn't affecting Mexico. Like, I can walk around Mexico and say I like Trump, and people are just, you know, mostly people are curious about it, or they might not like him from a perspective of Mexico. Some of them like him. Like, believe it or not, he's very well liked even within Mexico. But people might not like him, but they say, I wish we had a president like him here. You know, or I've heard this type of stuff all the time. So it's much safer to say you like Trump in Mexico than it is to say in America. It's you can say it in other countries much more easily. And you can say here, and it's not good for the mental health of a country that people like separate themselves from long-term friendships. You know, people end friendships over this, and they separate themselves from families, their family members over this. And right, they even write nasty things about, you know, their favorite hot sauce company over this.
Which is why I love having the open conversations with people who I know from both sides that I work with, but I only do those when I know that they can have the conversations too, because most people are not as open to it. So that's why I personally like keep it separate from the work side because of that. But I don't know if you like Steven, you do that too, of like,
yeah, we just don't, we're not good. We can't trust that we're good communicators or working with good communicators. It usually gets
too emotionally.
It gets filled with anger, rage, and a lack of logic. And you know, it's like
Steven's just like, I just need these sales. Like, can we?
Yeah,
can we just drive with these sales?
It's really interesting when you look back in politics, and I was too young to do this, but like, if we ask our parents, like, what was it like in the 80s? You know, it wasn't about these characters and their beliefs. Like, now it's just been over dramatized. Because like you might have personal beliefs that align with Trump, but you might just fucking hate the guy because he's, you know,
kind of a character, a lot of a character. And so I think that's the biggest thing, is like people are ashamed because the person representing their beliefs doesn't align with the character that they would look at. And so I think it's interesting now that it's like the person and the beliefs are almost two separate things. And I don't know.
There's all,
I don't know where I'm going with it.
I would say this, like, I think, you know, I am becoming a case study. If you're right, a successful person, or not just, like I said, not just business success, but successful in a general sense, and you got the potential to persuade people to stop the hate, like, I think I'm an interesting case study on how to do it and take a reasonable approach. Not just me, Elon came before me. He's doing a great job. Mark Zuckerberg seemed to totally despise Trump, was speaking positively of him in his last interview. So I think more people are going to follow after me. Hopefully I become a case study for people on how to do it. Obviously, like, if you're going to speak up, like, you got to realize, like, you're the voice of reason. You can't get down. You don't want to be arguing with people that don't want to have a, yeah, you got to realize you're the voice of reason. The people that are reacting with rage are emotionally charged. And your job is to persuade people to your perspective. And my perspective is that we shouldn't, you know, one, we shouldn't be using these nasty slurs to describe hundreds of millions of people. That should go away. And two, like, I run a company where people from both sides exist. It'd be impossible for it to be any other way. And we all get along, and there's no reason why we can't enjoy each other's company, you know, outside of work as well, right? There's no.
If someone was offended by this reading it, is there anything you would like to tell them? Like, is there any apology to be made, or are you pretty like, no, this is what I would say and do it again? Like, if someone was like really hurt by it, you know, like,
well,
I can't believe.
Look on the Instagram comments, or like.
Yeah, right. Like, what do you say to those people that you might not be able to rationalize it? Their feelings are their feelings. You don't own their feelings, but they are hurt and traumatized by what you put out there for whatever reason. Is there anything you would tell them or say to remedy that? Knowing that they're in a whatever position they're in, they feel hurt by this, whatever.
A lot of people change their perspectives over time. And like, the reality is, like, I did what I did to help those people more than any other group. Like, obviously I didn't write it to sway people that already like Trump to like him more. Like, I wrote it to sway people that feel it, you know, are on the opposite side to be less fearful of people on the Trump side. You know, I'm an example of somebody that's built a company with employees in 39 countries. I speak Spanish more than I speak English. You know, I hang out with people from all backgrounds. You know, by definition, you can't have people in 39 countries if you don't like diversity. Like, I have a very diverse company, I have a very diverse management team. And so I spoke up to help those people to say, like, you know, the people that you think are on the other side are not what you think. They're totally different. They're people like me, and they're people, you know, they're people like me. And so, yeah, believe it or not, I did what I did to help the people that, you know, in the short term, maybe they viewed it and they were emotionally hurt by it. I think as the more they listen to me talk, the more they're going to realize I did it to try to be helpful to them. And I would encourage those people, like, a lot of the people that are most severely afflicted, you know, or whatever, most severely emotionally harmed by this whole situation, like, they tend to not even listen to Trump himself speak. They tend to only listen to media clips or short parsings of what he said. Like, and if you listen to him in full, I think it'll make you feel a lot better as well, because that's what got me over to his side in the beginning. I was hearing all the media clips, and a friend told me, you know, you got to listen to the whole speech. And like, the first thing I heard was going back to 2016 when he said, build the wall, right? The media was like, build the wall, build the wall, build the wall. Nobody ever reported. And I don't know if you guys know or don't know, but I think most people don't know. He said, we got to build a wall, but it needs to have a big, beautiful door because we want people coming into this country. So, you know, the media has a way of manipulating people whatnot. So I would say, believe it or not, if you're hurt by this, I did this to be helpful to that segment of the population more than anything. I risk my own reputation. I risk the reputation of my company to help those people. And in the long run, they listen to me and hopefully it helps them like relax a little and not feel so, you know, not feel so tense around Trump supporters.
On the hiring side, you mentioned before that, you know, you'll do job fairs to try to attack people. You've got billboards that that you buy and put in the towns. Did you see any change in the hiring pipeline, or, you know, does this help or hurt, or just no effect of people applying for roles?
Thus far, it seems to help. to be honest with you, because like, especially in tech, it's a toxic anti-Trump environment, like in tech. And we have some very high performing individuals that are applying and saying they want to get out of their current situations and come join Sticker Mule. But like, but I want people to understand, like, Sticker Mule is a great place for everybody. I don't really talk. I tell even the people that are on the, there's actually an interesting study that says, like, if you get too far to one side or the other, your IQ declines, right? So if you're just like listening to far right propaganda all day or far left propaganda all day, you become stupider. So, you know, I tell everyone, like, listen to both sides. If, you know, I talk more to the people again on that, like Trump, they talk to me. If I feel like anyone's too far to one side, I tell them, look, you should really make a constant effort to listen to both sides. It raises your IQ to think from both perspectives. It raises your, you know, cognitive ability to think from both perspectives. But yeah, like, people that feel like they're in a hostile work environment and tech have like reached out to us and they want to join us. You know, but at the same time, we're a great atmosphere for everybody. And I don't want anyone like that's excessively political joining Sticker Mule and ruining the culture here.
Have you interacted with Elon at all?
No, we're actually... I don't know why he blocked us.
You pissed him off.
Wait, Elon blocked you?
Yes, Sticker Mule was blocked. We're blocked. Anyways, I shouldn't say this. Yeah.
Well, it's on the podcast now. Wait, so
it's funny.
Elon blocked you personally, or Elon blocked Sticker Mule? Or like
Sticker Mule? I'm nobody. So, I mean, I was nobody. I don't know if I'm still nobody.
You're a little more than you were yesterday. So wait, you can't find Sticker Mule on Twitter anymore?
No, it's on Twitter, but he blocked them personally.
He doesn't know we exist. We're dead to him. Except somebody was like, somebody wrote on something or other, like, you know, Sticker Mule sending Elon hundreds of dollars to keep him afloat, because we are running, you know, a fair amount of ads on X, and we're having a fun time doing that. And that's going well for us. Interesting business thing. You know, we are, I shouldn't give away our secrets, right? But
Twitter ads are working now because they're cheap, ads, right?
The X ads have been
effective. X ads.
I know. Yeah. I don't know if you guys know. We built our own social network to try to like fix some of the problems with what was then called Twitter. And then Elon stepped in and bought it. And so that's been interesting, but you know, I'm happy he did that.
This is super interesting. I mean, I love hearing from all perspectives on it, especially from the business owner side when, you know, election years are just very, even with family, like family dinners, like, you know, certain family dinners, we just either don't talk about it, or if I know that we can, then we do talk about it and we have awesome conversations that way too. And you know, from your messaging, from, you know, what Expensify sent, from, what Basecamp sent. I mean, there's just so many different ways to go about it. But yeah, I mean, I appreciate your transparency around it. I'd love to learn at some point down the road, like, where at the end of all of it, I know this wasn't your goal, but I'd love to know how sales are.
Doesn't matter to you, but we just want to know. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard to say because there's so many influencing factors on sales. Like, right. Like I said, I'm very excited about our stores platform, making Sticker Mule platform.
But like, okay, the coupon, how many people use the coupon?
Oh, how many people use the coupon? A lot.
The $4 coupon or whatever for a $4 shirt.
They're like, look, we get a discount. We don't care what, like, the email is. Like, we get a good discount.
Fuck Anthony, but I got a $4 shirt.
In fact, people bought shirts that said that.
An increase in F Anthony shirts. It's through the roof.
You like, follow our ex-company. Somebody sent us, you know, sex toys and all sorts of stuff. Sent to me. But it was a very small sex toy. So I was like, that's weird. You know, you'd think it'd be like, I don't know if they didn't have the budget to buy a big one, or they just wanted to be nice, like start here and, you know, keep screwing yourself with something bigger down the road. I don't know. But, you know, yeah, all sorts of like, weird shirts came through, particularly directed at me.
You take it on the chin, though. I mean, you just take it and... whatever.
I would say this, if you're going to speak up, you realize, like I said, you're the voice of reason. Hopefully other people follow what I did and like realize, like, you're the voice of reason. You can't take anything personal. Like, these, you know, people are upset for whatever reason. Like, a lot of it's not their fault, right? They've been watching whatever they've been watching that's made them feel this way. And like, people like me and Elon and other people that are speaking up need to continue doing it so that people that are so wound up by it, like, don't in the future. As far as the shirts go, I got beat up for that a little bit because he's trying to make money off the situation. But I thought we talked to the team. Like, we were like, first of all, people want deals in our email. So this would be a little rude. We were like, should we just write an email or should it include a deal? We thought it'd be rude to just send an email without a deal. So then, but we're like, well, we got to do a tasteful deal, but it's got to be funny at the same time. So that was that, you know, we figured like, well, it's tasteful because at $4 per shirt plus free shipping, it's obvious we're losing money. So not only did I take that, you know, risk my reputation, but we lost a ton of money on that promotion. I mean, $4 shirts cost more than $4 plus shipping. I mean, we lost a ton of money trying to get the message out. And then you laughed, right? When you talked about the promo. If you remember when you read the email and you got to the part about the promo, you couldn't help but laugh. So
it was it was the sticker mule personality, I thought, of, yes. You know.
By the way, there's a deal on shirts.
Exactly.
We were thinking about what deal to do, and we're like, we got to do the shirt one because it's the only one where it's obvious we're losing money. And, you know, obvious we're just trying to amplify the message, which is like to the extent that if you're a Trump supporter, particularly if you're somebody that can like help calm the masses and persuade the masses to be less fearful of Trump supporters and be less hateful toward Trump supporters, buy a shirt and like let your friends know that like you're representative of the type of people that support Trump. If you're a CEO or a successful person that supports Trump, like, you know, look at like what I'm doing, look at what Elon's doing, and try and persuade the masses that like you don't, I mean, there are, you know, that you don't have to be fearful or hateful towards Trump supporters, like, and that we're not all the, you know, and that it's inappropriate to use all the slurs and smears that are used to describe hundreds of millions of people, which by definition, if you got a population of 100 plus million people, you're talking about people from all different backgrounds. So when you say the R slur or whatever, it doesn't really make any sense.
I'm with you. Anthony, regardless of whatever size toy you got sent to you, you definitely have some balls for doing this. And, you know, there's not too many executives or CEOs that will do that. You know, you're definitely a wild card. And I think super interesting to kind of see how you operate is really interesting. And we always appreciate the conversation. I mean, the business you've run and the way that you're doing it, even the boxing stuff, super rad. So we hopefully this isn't the last time, but we really, really appreciate it.
I appreciate you guys so we can talk.
Thank you for the time. Print Hustlers, we appreciate you guys always joining us. Hopefully this was a fun conversation. And we'll see you guys next week. Have a good one. Thanks so much for listening. Hopefully that was informative. Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to like. Don't forget to hit the bell for notifications if you enjoyed this video. If you enjoy all the stuff we're putting out, it's really helpful. We love to just be able to see it. That means that we're doing a good job. To subscribe, hit the bell for notifications, and hit the like button. And I'll see you in the next episode. Bye.